Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Gil, we're back. Last time you saw us, we were in Las Vegas.
Oh, it was Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The big three drafts in Combine. We can get back to that, but I want to let you know that the podcast world is growing bigger every day, and the Himalaya app wants to help you navigate it. Himalaya is a brand new podcast app where you can find every single podcast you love, as well as favorites like us.
Like us.
If you're a podcaster or you're a fan, Himalaya has got your back. Discover personally curated playlists and show your favorite podcasters.
Like me.
Some love with Himalaya's tip jar. It's free, it's the easiest to use, and they're adding cool new features every day. Go to the App Store, download Himalaya, H-I-M-A-L-A-Y-A, and don't forget to follow the No Chill Podcast.
Don't forget.
How could you forget?
They don't.
Nah.
They really don't.
Let's be real. On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we've seen a couple of seasons come to an unceremonious end for two marquee teams. So as the door closed for the Rockets and the Celtics, we grade their overall performance, decide if the season was a disappointment or should have been expected, and what's next. For Houston, what happens when they run it back with the roster they have? For Boston, what do they do different with or without Kyrie? We also get into Tyronn Lue's decision to turn down the Lakers coaching gig that ultimately went to Frank Vogel. Of course, Gilbert has a take on it. Also, he officially announces his fandom of Kawhi Leonard. While he's at it, he adds on an explanation of his very publicized comments about Vince Carter re-upping for another season at 42 years old. It's a packed episode of the No Chill Podcast. As always, you can get every episode early on the Himalaya app. Be sure to subscribe to the No Chill Podcast on Himalaya or wherever you get your podcasts, and check out the No Chill channel on YouTube.
Okay, let's start off by saying, what kind of white boy outfit is this?
I was like the white Swaggy P, channel my.
Also, you have a basketball outfit on.
Some shit he would wear.
With a flannel.
To be honest, I was in the car and I had a t-shirt.
Like if you guys can't.
LA weather's been weird this.
If you guys, you know, are not watching and you're just listening, he has on basketball hoop shorts with the gray Jordans, a basketball t-shirt, and over the shirt, he has a flannel long sleeve on.
That's some cool shit.
Yeah. Yeah, for a wino.
Let me just tell you, like, someday.
That's a wino outfit.
Someday you can get to this
okay,
level.
All right, that's. No, I don't. I really don't.
We got to tell our friends at Stitch Fix. This might be a Stitch Fix shirt.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. We got friends.
I'm pretty sure you don't supposed to wear with the outfit you have under.
My own thing. That's okay, the whole point of it. If it looks good to you, if it feels good, do it. Rock with it. But you know what didn't feel good? Watching Houston come all this way this year and take that L. Man, they had the prime opportunity. You have Boogie is out. KD goes down. What more can you ask for out of Golden State? Like, go for the jugular, man.
Yeah, you're supposed to. But. They didn't have enough talent.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. Like, you remember Adam Caporale?
Mm-hmm.
From
Caporale. Put some respect on his name.
From Out of Bounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he still hits me about, you know, picks.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, yeah, do you believe this Houston, you know, this Houston train, everyone's jumping on that they're going to beat Golden State? You know, it's a plus seven right now. I said, who's plus seven? He said, Golden State's plus seven. I said, well, you better take that. I said, Houston has no chance. I said, people don't understand. All the pressure was on Houston because KD's gone. They're at home. They're supposed to win. You heard Paul Pierce. They're supposed to win by 15. I was like, no, this doesn't work in their favor. I said, if you take KD out, you take Cousins out, you have the same starting five or same at least 3 to 4 players that's used to playing with each other. So So you have to revert your mind back to 2014, 2015, 2015, 2016, Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, man, they got back to the core Warriors.
So what did they do on the road? On the road, they shot more threes. They played wild man basketball. So when you really broke it down, you have a team who's supposed to lose. They don't have any. What do they have to lose now? They're going to go out there, fling up a lot of threes. I told him, I said, they're going to shoot at least 30 to 35 threes, you know. Now, if they're hitting, it's over. And I said, if the game is close towards the end, Houston's going to choke more than Golden State. So I will take Golden State for game six.
But like you're saying, the volume of threes that they shot, it's also Houston's game. The difference is the ball movement creates better looks.
Yeah, but you put everybody back in an element that they're comfortable with. So now Draymond gets to be that assist man. You know, Clay and Steph get to play wild man basketball. They have more of – they actually know their roles. So you're just putting them in an element they've already been accustomed to. In a game, to them, we don't have no pressure. We're supposed to lose this game, so let's just go out there and just play basketball. We have nothing to lose. Everyone says we're going to lose. Let's just go out there and play. This is a non-pressure game for us.
Okay, it's funny. So that gives them the freedom.
That gives them the freedom.
That tightens things up for Houston. And I think that's what – seeing that series from game one when they got their ass kicked, they just played tight. Like you can see it in – they didn't look confident. They looked a little rattled.
Yeah, you know.
I don't think they thought they were going to get smoked like that.
Who, Houston?
Yeah, and nobody really does, but...
See, what Houston is...
I think they were ready for a dogfight.
It's an illusion. And, you know, I think our basketball experts need to really actually hone in on their annealing skills and stuff.
What does Charles Barkley say?
I have no idea.
No experts but God. So I don't know if any expert really knows.
Like, I just don't like how, you know... They come into games and go on TV and just splurt out shit, you know, because it's like you give false hope. Like when you break down Houston, all right, James Harden had a wonderful year. I mean, amazing year. But if you go down history, Michael Jordan, the year he averaged, was it 37?
Yeah, like 80, it was 87.
Yeah, his team sucked. Mm-hmm. The next...
He had to do everything.
Yes. The next person was Kobe. His team sucked. Okay?
06.
Now, you had Harden this year at 36. You know, averaging 36. In theory, if he has to average 36, his team sucks. Like, so when you bring Chris Paul back... And you put them out there, what do you really have? You have a dominant scorer who basically says, all right, I'm going to play isolation basketball. Which, if he's playing isolation basketball, that means all the other players are not getting easier shots. What I mean easier is like if we're going down screens and back screens, you know, and people are focused on me, I pop out, I get an easy look, or I backdoor and get an open shot. They don't get those type of plays.
Right, so it's you stand up. You're up
I stand
top.
Up the top of the
these
key.
These two on this side, these mm-hmm. two on this side, and get out of my way.
Yeah.
You might get a high screen.
I break everyone down, and then I pass it to you in a quarter. But when it comes to movement, these guys are not getting easy baskets to keep them in the game. The only way they get in the game is someone passing it to them. So when you think like that, now you think of Chris Paul, right? He is supposed to be Draymond Green. He's the guy who makes sure the ball gets delivered to Eric Gordon, Capella,
PJ Tucker.
Because those guys are just standing around. So if Chris Paul is shooting 19 shots, that means he's not getting the other players involved. See, his role is supposed to be switched. With Eric Gordon, the focal point is supposed to be Harden, Eric Gordon, and then Chris Paul is supposed to make sure Capella, Tucker, and Green are getting easier shots because Harden and Gordon are attacking.
They can create for themselves.
Yeah, because they can create for themselves. So Chris Paul is the one that gets the sorrier players easy baskets. Mm-hmm.
So he can't create for others. And I think that was, look, that's what you have with Chris. He's one of the best assist guys, shot creators for his teammates like we've ever seen of his era for sure. And that was a question when he came to Houston, was how do him and Harden coexist? Because they both need the ball. They're both going to, what's that going to look like? People kind of said, well, let's see. Let's roll it out there and see what it looks like. And we saw it's effective. But I think what changes is the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, everything's effective.
When things tighten up.
Everything's effective in regular season because no one is scouting you. You know, no one is scouting you. You know, but when you look at the way they run offense, it doesn't benefit the players who keep the defense honest. And, you know, you cut out Capella, which if Capella is scoring, it helps everyone else. You cut out Green. You cut out P.J. Tucker. You cut out the guys that you actually need. You know, so this game is like, you know, I didn't even have to watch it. The fact that, you know, Chris Paul and James Harden are taking over the scoring, you know, mentality, that means someone's doing Eric Gordon's job. If someone's doing Eric Gordon's job, that means no one's doing Chris Paul's job, and that's getting everybody else involved. So now you've got one group that knows exactly their roles, the other group doesn't. You know, so when it came to talent, Golden State is still overshadowing Houston.
So to back up to what you said about Adam, or said to Adam, they don't have the talent. They have talent, but compared to Golden State,
they don't have enough talent.
They don't have enough
horses. KD and Cousins gone, they still have more talent than you.
I mean, that was like when they got KD.
Because at the end of the day, you take 36, okay. Well, you just, you know, go back to Steph's main year. He's at 31, 32. So he's right under you, you know, James in the scoring department. So you guys kind of cancel each other out. You're plus 5 or 6 against him. Then Clay versus the next score, he's going to be plus 5 or 6. So you guys are even. Now it becomes a role player's game. Draymond Green is going to be a better role player to the other players than your role player to, you know, to your team on Houston. So, you know, they just don't have enough talent, you know, to get by Golden State.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say that anybody has enough talent to match up with those guys because of the depth that they have. I mean, look at that first five plus their bench, you know, with those injuries, that's a little different. But a team like, let's say, Denver, right, that, okay, they don't have the star power, but the way that they play together, the way they move the ball, you know, what the mismatch that Joker creates, like maybe they are, you know, a little more equipped to beat the Warriors, but the Rockets are not.
No.
They're not built to beat the Warriors. They're built to be a...
Denver's team. Not... They're not built
I know,
to
I'm just
beat the Warriors.
Actually, the team that...
I the think only put, team that's built to beat the Warriors when it comes to star power is over in the East.
Philly.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have Philadelphia where you have a big man who's placed inside, outside. Mm-hmm. You have a go-to guy in Jimmy Butler. You have Tobias Harris who hits outside shots. You have J.J. Redick who's just a deadly shooter. And then you have Ben Simmons. Who's supposed to be the anchor of this team. But I think he wants to be an actual point guard and doesn't realize you're 6'11". The more aggressive on the scoring end you are, the easier it is for Tobias Harris, the easier it is for J.J. Redick. Jimmy Butler plays his own style, Embiid. Them two create their own. You need to be aggressive for Tobias. And so if you're sitting around just making passes, you know, not being effective, the team is not that good. But if you actually become Greek the Freak style, Westbrook style, those guys will eat better.
I would even say for Simmons, he's like his own category.
Yeah, but at 6'11", just go Euro and do all the spins.
Yeah, he knows to go downhill. He knows how to, you know, Euro and get to the basket. But it's
– He had
Lowry on him in that series. And, you know, he got a mouse in the house here in the post. But Lowry plays big on defense. So he wasn't a mismatch for a guy that's not creative down low.
How can you be 6'1" and play big? I don't get it. You're little.
Because he – like Pat Beverly.
Huh?
Like Pat Beverly. He bodies up a bigger player. just crowds him, getting his space, and it gives Simmons, it takes Simmons out of his comfort zone.
Because big, because taller guys think, when I have a small guy on me, let me go to the post. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you, I appreciate it.
Now what?
Thank you, I appreciate it. Now the double can come. Thank you very much. You know, it's, so, you know, so when it comes to Houston, that they need to really get a, they really need to check their roster and understand that if James has to score 36, you're not good.
Okay, but that's the roster they have. So what do they do with that, right? Because who they have under contract now is James, Chris, Capella, PJ Tucker. Like, you don't have a lot of cap space or the luxury to move anything, really. I mean, Chris has three more seasons on his contract, but $40 million a season.
Okay.
You're not going to move that. So you got to work with what you have.
Well, what, then they're not going to win a championship. I'm sorry. I'm just be honest. What they have is not good enough to win a championship. You know, what's so funny is when they had Lou Williams and Gordon coming off the bench, that team was way more vicious than this team is right now. Because you got two guys coming off the bench averaging 19 and 18. You have 40 points. You have 40 points coming off the bench with only two players. No matter what the rest of your starting five looks like, you have two players that's basically option two and three, but they're on the bench. So if your starting five is giving you anything in offense, it's hard to beat that unit. That team, like, when they got rid of Lou, I said, that's kind of –
And also
they're kind of going backwards on this
one. They had the defender and Ariza that they needed this series. I mean, that's the thing about the NBA is, man, like, if management just could be more patient and let guys gel and stay together.
You know, it ain't management need to be more patient. Management needs to be educated in basketball, not paperwork. You know, so I think, you know, management looks at paperwork and tries to fit pieces within their budget.
I was going to say paperwork, you mean,
but it's kind of weird.
Contracts and cap space.
Yeah, but it's kind of weird to use cap space. I think it's just an illusion. Like, I think it's one of those things where you get to use cap space to keep making money and keep the team where it's at, or trade this player and get rid of this player. Like,
saying we had to get rid of him to clear cap space.
Yeah, let's imagine that all our owners in the NBA are billionaires. Let's just fake it like they're actually billionaires. Like, they're actually worth billions. Mm-hmm. If you really wanted to win, the cap space means fucking.
Well, that's what I was going to say about Houston. Okay, you got to spend more because you're stuck in this
all
place.
Of them do. Like, if you really want to win, obviously, you spend a little money, fuck the cap space, go get the players you need, and you will win. If you was billionaires. But for some reason, these guys aren't, right? Yeah, nah. Cap space kind of like blocks the fuck out of them from actually making moves.
They have a business to run.
Yeah, that's all it is a business.
Right.
Like, it's not about actually
winning. It's not
winning.
About winning.
Yeah, right. It's not a win. It's a business.
But I think that's the thing for Houston is, okay, take the cap hit. Because remember what the Thunder had to start the season when they had, or I think it was going into season, they had Russ signed max deal. They signed Paul George. They had, who's the other big contract? They had Steven Adams. Mm-hmm. And then you had Melo. And they were like
way over cap.
Way over.
Didn't care.
They didn't care. Until they realize, like, this shit's not going to work.
And that's weird for that team because you didn't keep James Harden when he was.
Don't you think they learned from that?
Yeah.
The hard way.
Yeah.
Because you lost James and KD. But yeah, you know, back to Houston. Okay, you were 53-29. You go to the conference semifinals losing six games. Was it a disappointment?
To me, no. Like,
it's a disappointment. Yeah, sure, because you didn't win a championship. Anybody who does, there's only one team that does. But did they play to their ceiling?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said. They capped off everything they had. I mean, like, really sit down and think about it. Your power forward is 6'4".
Plays big.
But he plays big, but he's only 6'4". He plays with heart. He gives you extra rebounds. But at the end of the day, he's only 6'4". He's a hustle player that hits corner threes. You're very limited there. So when you take their starting five plus their bench, they maxed out their potential. Just comes up short.
Because there were games where, you know, you got a contribution from Eric Gordon, you know, what was that, game two? Mm-hmm. And it's like he's playing, you know, he's maxed out in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And you need that from all of your guys on a nightly basis. That's what I
said, for them to have won both games, all those players had to be on.
But
actually doing their jobs, mm-hmm. doing their responsibility. Like James scoring, CP's at that 15. He's at that 15 and 10 assists. That means Eric Gordon has 20 plus. Capella has 15 with 9 to 12 rebounds. You got PJ Tucker, who's probably hit 4 or 5 threes in a corner. He has 5 to 6 offensive rebounds. Like, that's what you needed from that group both games to beat them. Because you already knew what Golden State was going to play. They were going to play to their strength. So to beat them, you would have had to play to your strength both games.
But I was looking for, remember that game in January in Golden State that Houston went there and James hit that shot from the three to win it? At the end, he had Iguodala draped on him. KD was closing out. I think somebody else was.
He hit that big shot.
Yeah. That Eye of the Tiger Houston team is what needed to show up for the series game one. I just didn't.
Regular season and the playoffs is two different elements of basketball.
Yeah.
Like, some of your stars are not built for the playoffs. Some players, their skill level is only built for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, that's why, like, players like Jrue Holiday will average 18 to 20 in the regular season. And in the playoffs, when the game is, you know, slower, it's more half court, it's more skill work, he averages 30-something. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, what's going on here? Well, it's his skill now. Mm-hmm. This is where his skill takes over. That's where Lou Will skill takes over. That's, you know, Bibby. And that's how
it's
all
kind
these...
of like it's automatic and repeatable.
Yeah, it's like being a Honda in traffic. Mm-hmm. You're gonna move way better than the Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm. You're gonna move way better, and that's what that is. Like, they just look better in these crunch time moments.
And also, you know, I think we also saw with Lamar last week. We were talking about practice players versus gamers, mm-hmm. and then so it's also like gamers versus big gamers.
Yeah,
and a guy like. Tony Parker,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that, you knew he was going to do his thing, run the race for the regular season, but then really pick up the pace in the postseason and could know. And I think that's a real thing. There are certain guys
that's
that,
what I said.
Yeah.
It just is. It is. Like,
but no one ever talks about that.
Players who have one-on-one ability, that means they can create their own shot. Playoffs is more valuable for those players because – everyone knows exactly what everyone's trying to do. So the creative players, the players who can create their own offense, their skill in heightens. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, it's like you as the management, as the coaching staff, you have to understand what these players can actually do.
Should have never let Lou Will go.
No.
Give him a grade on the season.
A. Give them A.
Like I said, we hit their ceiling. We knew what they were going to do.
I give them A. It's
like they capped out.
Like, I know. Look, I know they thought, like, yo, we're about to beat the shit out of them. They lost KD. Yeah, but they still have 3 all-stars, all NBA players on their team. Current. You have 1 current. And you have a great PG, but they have 3 current. Mm-hmm. So you're still outmatched. So, mm-hmm. but I understand that. Yeah, they lost the Bugatti, but you're not realizing they still got another Bugatti. He's just
that's a lot of cars in that garage.
Haven't been using his engine because he didn't need to. But you take that one off the road, here comes the other one.
Well, shit. So we talked about the players, the management, things they can do. We didn't talk about the coaching. So with D'Antoni, we know offensively what you're gonna get innovation on mm-hmm. the offensive end. And every place, think about the place he was at, Phoenix, mm-hmm. back in the day, New York.
Mm-hmm. Lakers,
and then here in Houston. Is he not a playoff coach?
It's, you know, it's easy to say, no, he's not a playoff coach. But when you think about his teams, for the most part, none of his teams were capable of winning in the playoffs.
Well, Houston, they lost to Golden State 4 of the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And then the other team they lost to, Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like.
Makes sense.
They ran up to the bigger fish and they couldn't.
But I mean, like. But what I'm saying is, when you break down all of his teams, they're regular season good. Mm-hmm. They're good for, you don't scout me, you don't know nothing about me, we're just going to come up, you didn't spend 30 minutes on me, and we're going to run up and down, and I'm going to just beat the shit out of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's been his teams. It's not that, okay, you're scouting my players, I can give it to someone that, no matter what your scout report says, he can do it. You know, when you think about, you know, Steve Nash's group, yeah, they were great, but who was the go-to player on that team? No one.
Mm-mm.
So when that court gets shrink, you're pick and roll, trying to throw it to Amari, you know, moving because he couldn't post up. Like, you didn't have no one that you can say, all right, here, let's go to work.
Yeah, I mean, even I say it was like Dio, because Marion was a transition.
Everyone was spot up. You had deep. Yep. No one was a creator. No one can create their own basket.
Steve Nash, like Chris Paul, shot creator for
his
game? I'm gonna probe dribble. I'm gonna try to draw a double team and kick it out, or I can spot up. You know, I can.
Or I'm gonna spot up and hit. But that's
what
I'm saying.
If you
don't have a guy who can really take over a game, and it's a whole team atmosphere. It's kind of hard. Like with Detroit, when they beat the Lakers, no one actually realized the skill that team had. So let's take away their fucking defense, because the defense was just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Offense, what you did have is Rip was the go-to guy.
Actually, I was going to say somebody else.
Just wait.
Wait. Okay.
Rip was the go-to guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wallace was a go-to guy.
Sheed.
Yeah, Rasheed Wallace was the go-to guy.
That's who I would say it was.
And Chauncey
mm-hmm.
was a go-to guy. So when the last 2 minutes came to play, the Lakers have Kobe as their go-to guy. And you can focus on Kobe. Well, Detroit had three guys who knew how to score in the last 2 minutes. And that was their advantage over the Lakers that year. You know, we know Lakers had a couple players that was hurt, but that team was skilled at the right time. You know, so it was really hard to say, all right, we're going to shut Chauncey down because he likes to hit the big shots. Well, Rip Hamilton hits big shots, and he knows how to create. Rasheed Wallace with the post-up. Like, he's a matchup nightmare. So you got three juggernauts that you're trying to do, which is kind of unheard of at that right time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just, you know, it's like, you know, it's like Blazers. You got two finishers at the end of the game with CJ and Dame. They're both half-court players and both great offensive scorers, you know, like individually. You know, so it's like, who do we focus on? Yeah, we can say we're going to stop Dame. Yeah, but CJ's going to kill you too.
And that's what I think, talking about D'Antoni. Terry Stotts is, I do think that is a good playoff coach, because he gets his teams to overachieve, except for last year. But
no, you know, it's not overachieving.
He also has the right guys to.
You have two killers on your team. Just because the world doesn't know you, Dame averages 27 a game, hits big shots, like he's a killer, and his second option averages 21. That backcourt is killers.
That's a problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's, you have exactly what you need to be successful as a coach.
All right. Well, speaking of coaches, I think we've done enough with Houston here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. They've gone fishing. We'll see what you do next year. A thing here in LA, man, what a weird week it was. We had a protest. I don't think I've ever seen that before. We had a protest at Staples Center.
Mm-hmm.
things have just gotten out of hand. The leading coaching candidate, Tyronn Lue, backed out.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to choose his assistant coaches in his deal. I think it was something like 18 for 3 was the contract. So yeah, they broke off top talks. So you want to talk about Tyronn Lue as a coach?
Okay, I get all the hype and the protesting. I don't know what the fuck they're protesting about, but I mean, sounds amazing to protest.
It was like it's like the town, the village is coming after the like a
buses
witch hunter.
Yeah. On what? Yeah, for what?
Like, came out with their pitchforks. Yeah.
Like, it's like, what is the argument about? Like, okay, so we have Tyronn Lue, who's, you know, the head candidate. They offer him 3-year 18. They want Jason Kidd and who else?
That's all I know, because I know Rambis, they had another the other candidate right now, I thought was mentioning that, but all I know is Jason Kidd.
Okay, I mean, you have a great assistant coach. You have great minds with you. What's the problem?
For Ty Lue or the Lakers?
What's the
problem? You think he's a little threatened by Jay Kidd? Maybe that guy wants this job? So that immediately puts him on the hot seat.
Sure. But at the end of the day, do what you fucking do. Like, so you want to... So, instead of having a great mind with you, you would rather bring in someone that you're not threatened by. Because at the end of the day, that non-threatened player has no information for you because he's stupid.
Not going to help you.
You know, so, yeah, you're not on the hot seat. But if this is the guy you have to talk to, you're going to get fired anyway. Like, I want a great mind to see something I don't see. You got to remember, Jason Kidd was a Hall of Fame player. So he looks at the game different from some guy who was a bench player his whole career.
Yeah, but
there's
like,
two different mindsets here.
If there's some sort of government parallel, like you have the president, but he knows the guys I'm going to put around me, like my vice president, my chief of staff, all that, they're not going to try to take my job.
I think billionaires say it the best. I want to surround myself with people who are smarter than me.
But doesn't mean they know. Also,
I don't want to be the smartest man in the world.
They don't want to take my job.
But at the end of the day, I can only learn from people who are smarter than me. I can't learn from dummies. I can only learn from people who I surround myself with. So with Ty Lue, I want Mark Jackson on my bench. I want Jason Kidd on my bench. Look, if I get fired, it reflects all three of us. Not just me. It reflects all of us because we're all doing it. We're all in this is all of our input here.
Yeah, I guess it's like if you draft a quarterback or you have a quarterback and you draft a young guy and you're thinking like that's gonna create a quarterback controversy, but team knows at the end of the day that's gonna be the best thing for us because going to create a competitive environment. So if all these dudes are pushing at each other, but we're winning, hey.
Like, I mean,
that's
like,
the best thing
how
for
does
us.
It, let's just think how Tyronn is probably, I mean, Ty Lue is probably thinking, yeah, Jason Kidd is going to be after my job. So what he's going to do, tell you bad information?
Well, not tell you bad information.
He's
going to
give you bad information? Like, what the fuck do you think he's really going to do?
But it's like some Game of Thrones stuff, like, yeah, you're in charge right now, but as soon as you start fucking up, yeah.
But if
I know I'm next.
That's what the upper management on it. If I'm fucking up, that means the two people that's speaking in my ear is fucking up also.
But
they're fucking up also.
Ty Lue knew that when they fired Blatt, when Blatt was on the hot seat to start the season, he was that guy that slid right in there. He was the number one candidate.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's insecurity to me. You know, it's insecurity instead of saying, listen, like, you're not confident with your skills. If I'm them, 3-year 18 is fair for his resume.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for his resume, 3-year 18. That matches you up with LeBron. And when both of you guys' contracts are up, I can evaluate you for you. As of right now, What have you actually done for 5 years? For a 5-year contract? Like, they fucked up with Luke and gave him 5 years. Because what did he do?
I think that's why he was
What I'm
salty.
Saying is, what did he do for his 5 years? Drive the boat while the captain slept. You know, for a couple of hours.
Night watch.
Because, you know, his team went to the championship. They were the number one team. Or they won the championship the year before. You know, Golden State coming back. If we said, all right, first 39 games, what do you think, you know, Golden State's record would be? 34 and something, 35 and something. Like, that was their record. So no matter who coached that fucking team, that's what the record. So if they would have only lost 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games, Luke looks amazing, period. Nothing to do. So with Tyronn Lue, what did you actually, like, you need to really check the ego inside, because at the end of the day, what have you done? Like, in 2014-15, David went 53-29, right? I don't know if you can find anyone in America that would tell you if Love and Kyrie was healthy, that Golden State would have won that championship. I don't think anybody will pick Golden State if Kyrie and Love was healthy that year. So that team was a championship team. Two players went down. Going to the following season, they're damn near favorite because everyone's healthy. David goes 30-11, and he gets fired.
Why was that, though?
Why was it?
I think LeBron wanted him there.
30-11. So that team is playing well.
Mm-hmm.
You sub in. You go 27-14. Your record was worse than his record. You guys win a championship. Okay, I mean, they were favored any goddamn way. I mean, they were favored any goddamn. So what did you really do? Nothing. Just drive the fucking boat. You just drove it. You just made sure it just stayed straight. There was nothing you actually did, because the team you had was number one. They lost in a championship because option 2 and 3 were gone. And then they were all healthy the following year with a 30-11 start. You just subbed in and you did what you were supposed to do.
He didn't fuck it up.
That's it. You didn't fuck it up.
But I'll tell you what. So, like, for Luke, that turned into a full-time job in L.A. And now also he's
that's
got
what I'm saying. Like,
Sacramento.
You think the Lakers are supposed to make 2 bad mistakes? Because at the end of the day, it's
they
like,
made a lot
okay,
of mistakes lately. Lucas
Lakers, and, okay, we get it. You're Lakers, too. But at the end of the day, I've already made a mistake with the 5-year deal. So let me just go ahead and put 3 years, because after that, what did your team do? 50-23, when coaching, this is where coaching comes in, where your team was still unbalanced because you didn't know what Dwayne Wade was doing. Like, between your 2-guard, Dwayne Wade and J.R. Smith, both of them was fucked up. J.R. didn't know if he was starting. He was unhappy. D. Wade wasn't being put in. Like, that team was managed wrong at the beginning of the season. Then you bring in a whole new squad. They didn't look great, you know?
They were good enough for what they had.
They was good enough for the East. Yeah. You go to the championship, you know, you lose. At the end of the day, you was not going to win. So I give you a C-plus for that season. The following year, you start the season 0-6. They fire you. At the end of the day, you were supposed to fucking go 0-6. Mm-hmm. The team was fucking horrible.
They knew that. They knew,
you know, so, you know, it's kind of down year. It's really kind of hard to really judge how can he coach?
Like,
yeah,
it's
really
I would have
hard.
Said the measure of him as a coach would have been if not 0-6, they were 6-0 or
4-2
or something. Like, I mean, damn, we didn't expect that out. I mean, 6 games is really nothing.
I know, that's what I'm saying. He got fired so fast, it's hard to really judge can he coach? Because it's like, all right, that team sucks. We know they suck. Let's see how, you know, if you're losing at the last 3 minutes, your team is competitive. You know, if you're 0-12, but your team is competitive, you're losing in the last 2 minutes of the game. You know, little things like that. That says, okay, he can coach. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have a star player to finish the last 2 minutes off. But as of right now, even with a championship, the championship is cool, but it's not worth 5 years because it's not like we started the season off and you was on a third or fourth team and you made it to the championship. You was on the number one team. Yeah, they lost, but going into the next season, they were the number one team in Vegas' mind because Kyrie and Love was back. They were the favorites. You did your job.
Yeah, he did his job and got him to the finals. He got him to the finals.
You know, so I can't really put any value on that because that's.
You think it was fool's gold that he has that championship and you can't and you want to?
I don't call it fool's gold. I call it a. You know.
But people say, oh, well, they have Ty Lue. He's a candidate. He won a championship.
But that's what I'm saying.
There's more to the story
for
than that.
For the eye test. You look at championship as, oh, he's, you know, he has a ring. But, you know, you got to put it in perspective. How did he win his ring? I mean, they start off the season 30-11. That coach before, that should be his ring because he shouldn't have been fired. The team was probably number one or number two in the East. Why is he fired in the first place? So, you know, it's, you know, you're getting a job for no reason. You know, this guy didn't deserve to be fired. He just got fired on a winning record. 19 games above 500. Mm-hmm. Like, you're balling. Mm-hmm. Like, you're fucking really balling. So, you know, it's, you know, if I judge 30-11 versus the 27-14, we already know who's, mm-hmm. who's, you know, who's on that, the winning side of that one. So, you know, it's, you basically come in, you get a championship. You come here. It's 13-11. I mean, it's, you know, 3-year 18. Take it.
Yeah, I was gonna say
it's fine. Hey, if you do your fucking job, if you do it, you put the right people around you. I mean, friends are cool to keep getting your friend's job, but at the end of the day, you put the right people around you, you're gonna have success. Like if I'm Tyrone Lue, hey, Mark Jackson. Jason Kidd, let's do this. In my 3 years, if I get fired and they put Jason Kidd, hey, so be it. Hey, I was listening to him anyway. So he's going to get fired any motherfucker. Well, you know, it's just like, what the fuck is he going to do? You know, it's one of those things. You know, it's.
Well, we'll see where he goes next.
It's a little bit of delusion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean.
I'm going to give him 3 years. You know, LeBron is your guy. Your guys, you guys are together. When the 3 years is up, I get to really evaluate you for you to see if I want to extend it. It's fair.
Yeah, that's what I would think. If he's LeBron's guy.
No, but at the end of the day, you're looking,
I think there's more to it.
You're looking in someone else's pocket, and you're looking at a five-year deal, and you want the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, no one's going to make the same mistake twice. You know, it's just not going to happen. I gave Luke five years because what he did in Golden State, which was nothing. And I gave him a young team expecting what? I have no idea. I don't know what you was expecting when you gave him the Lakers.
Golden State South.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I really don't. I don't know if you were gonna. He was supposed to turn him into the Golden State.
You see that in sports all the time. Is you are a coach in this system, do the same thing.
Yeah, it's fucking delusion. That's what I said. It's fucking delusion. These guys in upper management are fucking delusional. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm gonna pay you 5 years, 25 for the 39 games you subbed in for, and duplicate it.
Good for you if you can get it.
Like duplicate it. Do I get to bring Golden State over here? What the fuck you mean duplicate it? This is not fucking Steph. This is ball. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is ball. This ain't Steph Curry right here. He averages, you know, 10. That motherfucker averaged 31. Like this is a fucking big difference right here. You know, it's fucking delusional.
Know what you're looking at. All right, we got to take a break, but we're going to get into another team. We're going to grade them, the Celtics. Mm. But before that, we got to talk about Wix. Do you know we have a No Chill Podcast website coming? It's in the works. Yeah, get ready for it. It's in the works. So look out for the No Chill Podcast coming soon with our friends at Wix. Wix is building us a custom, beautiful page to keep all of our episodes, show information, and even a way for you to contact us. So get ready. Ask Agent Zero anything. I think.
Oh, shit.
And also get ready for any answer. Yeah. You want some, you got some. But Wix really is the best in the business at this. If you have a need for building a website, it's important for anyone to have a website for marketing, for branding. And the place to do it is with Wix. From the variety of websites you can create, they're professional, they're robust. There's a solution for every need with features like Wix Video, Wix Stores, Wix Booking, and even the Wix blog. Wix just launched Wix Turbo, which means all sites are now made with Wix can load faster than ever. Wix takes care of all the heavy lifting, like reliable hosting to keep your website safe and secure, custom domains, mailboxes, email marketing, and more. They also offer total creative freedom. So with Wix, you truly have infinite design possibilities, making each website personal, unique, and an original masterpiece. The platform enables you to create whatever you want yourself, whether you are a novice, a business owner, or an advanced designer, or a professional website builder. Make it beautiful with Wix. It's easy to use, it's clean, it's fresh with a professional look, and you get the results you're looking for. So get started on your own website. Mm-hmm. Go to Wix.com today.
You sold the shit out of that.
Yeah. We got to pay our bills.
You sold the shit out of that.
We got to pay our bills. All right. So getting back to grading, all right, we're gonna go to Boston. All right, finished season 49-33. Another semifinals exit. Was it a disappointment?
No.
Because you know what people were saying. LeBron leaves the East. East is weaker than the West. They have this young team. They can go right in there now. Like the Vegas odds were, they were going right to the final 60-win season. Didn't get there.
I said it last year. Again.
Another complex flashback.
Oh, yeah. On a complex. At the end of the season, I said it. Trade Kyrie and Hayward now to get players that fit. Because I seen what them motherfuckers didn't see. I seen it. I seen it. So that's why I said trade Kyrie now while you can and get superstar for superstar back.
You weren't like Nostradamus. What you saw is what you saw out of Rozier in the group that when Kyrie wasn't there.
Yes. Yeah, so
how they performed together.
As a starter, Rozier was a mimic of him. Not as good, but good enough for being an option number two. You know, hit big shots, knew how to create his own. In the half court, Tatum got the ball. He was option number one. Brown played great basketball. So as a group, that young group, they knew their roles. They knew who was who, what was what. So to fast forward, bring in Kyrie back, puts Terry back on the bench. Bring Hayward back, puts Brown on the bench. Well, you got two players that just had success. Now you want to rewind them back to the bench.
You can't do that.
They're not going to be happy. So the production and roles they had are no longer those roles. Because now they have to try to adapt. You lost two players. Kyrie coming back as the number one option. Now Tatum has to adjust to him. You lost another player. So, in hindsight, yeah, that team's not going to be as good. Because this is a brand new team. This is not the same team. This is not a team that's going to build. This is a new team that has to actually try to figure out their new roles. Is what I actually see. because it's like one of those things. I got to drive now. Yeah, I drove. Yeah, this feels good. Now you're telling me to be back in the passenger seat. Like, wait, hold on. What do you mean? Like, I'm not going to be happy now. You know, so, and that's what happened with that team. You got three players trying to adjust to a whole new fucking role after they had success.
It's like when you're a kid and you go away to college, then you come home. And you went away. I was independent.
Yeah, I'm independent. Now your parents are telling you to do shit. Yeah. Like, wait, hold on. Whoa. No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So it comes back to coaching, upper management. Again, on this one, Danny Ainge, you know, for the most part, he's done great.
He made every move.
He's done great. But this
responsibility. Bringing Kyrie in at the right time.
But this responsibilities have to fall on him or Brad. I don't care which one it falls on.
I got an X factor for you.
Let me hear it.
Anthony Davis. I think that all that, the hype around that and players not knowing if they were going to, because like Jason was supposed to go to New Orleans. And all, I think for young players, that messes with your head.
Anthony Davis to Boston? That wasn't even a thing.
Yeah, it was definitely a thing.
No, it wasn't a thing. It was a thing for the Lakers.
And Boston was there saying that like, he's not going to Boston. LA because Boston is that's who Danny Ainge wants.
Nobody paid attention to Boston and the fucking.
That was the grand master plan of Danny Ainge.
To trade him for who?
These young pieces because they showed with Rozier and Tatum and Brown, those guys could be expendable. You keep Hayward and Kyrie and then you add AD. That's the guy that they always wanted. They've said.
You trade who?
Some variation of Brown, Tatum, Rozier. Draft and picks that they have. Whatever they can package. Because you couldn't move Kyrie.
And that team was going to be in the championship?
You bring AD in there? Yeah. In the East?
Okay.
It didn't happen, but I'm saying that can mess with a young player.
That's another thing. They were horrible. They were playing horrible way before.
Okay, so you said it was front
office. The only reason you're talking about Anthony Davis is because your team is not playing up to its standards. You're talking about a trade.
I think in addition to what we saw last year in the playoffs, for some reason they just did not click this year. You have your reasons for it, right?
I just gave them to you.
Okay. I thought I cut you. You said, let me.
You have to be a basketball mind and understand basketball to grasp what I'm saying right here because you can probably get offended. You had Isaiah Thomas, right? Isaiah Thomas was a scorer. He was a hooper. You know, he got buckets. Period. You subbed him in a sense, he was a better. IT was a better option number two. Well, you know, in the long scheme of things, than Kyrie is.
Kyrie's your option one.
But that's a problem. Mm. You bring Kyrie in as option one.
But if I told you at that time, even on that, before you knew about the hip, which they probably did know about, and what you've seen out of IT since then, you would say that Kyrie's an upgrade.
No. Kyrie's an upgrade in natural talent and ability. But if they were both healthy, it depends what you're looking for. Because Kyrie is not an option one. He's a second option player. Okay. And this is why. He's a very skillful guard, really skilled. He can create his own basket, and his IQ flies the last 2-3 minutes. So that's the guy who finishes the game for you. But this guy does not know how to play in a system. Well, his skill is not heightened in a system. You know, it's like putting Blake Griffin in the post. That's not his talent. That's not where he's great at. So what ends up happening is you say, all right, Kyrie, you're the man. Here's the ball. Do your thing. Well, because he doesn't know how to play with four other players, he has to now try to figure out, oh, I need to get these guys in the ball and do all this, when he's just a killer. He's a killer. Like, he's what Lou Williams is. He's what Jamal Crawford is. He's what Harden. Who?
Harden.
No. He's what...
don't think Harden's a killer?
No. He is what Ginobili is. These guys are designed for a special purpose. Bucket getting and bucket getting only. No team concept. So, when you look at his stats and say, all right, you averaged 23-8. And you're the option, you're option one. You have no chance of winning. Because Golden State, Klay Thompson is 21-5, or 21.5. He's option three. Dame Leonard and CJ. CJ's averaging 21. He's option two. You got OKC, where Paul George is option two. He's averaging 29. So the fact we go into the playoffs and we take your option one stats at 23, you're actually, out of all the stars, you're at the bottom. You're the bottom of the star list. You're there with Jokic, who's damn near averaging a triple-double. There with, Gordon.
You're talking about, like, the top, 10, 20?
Top six, was it 16? Like, all the teams. 16, yeah. 32 teams. 32 teams who make the play. And I mean,
all-star, though.
No, 16 teams.
Yeah, okay, in the playoffs, yep.
The 16 teams that made the playoffs, he's ranked by stats 13, 14, 15, 16. You got Gordon from Orlando, whoever the star for the Pacers was at the time. You got him.
After Oladipo, yeah.
You got him. You got Blake Griffin over in Detroit, who was hurt most of that playoffs. Then Kyrie, when it comes to the number one guy. Like, your stats at that point as the number one guy are horrible coming into the playoffs. Because that means your number two is under you somewhere, which Tatum was number two.
Well, I was going to say, you would say that Boston have the depth, though, of all these teams. That's what was hyped about them.
Your option one is at 23. Your option two is at 15.
Right.
James Harden alone takes you both out.
But I would say option three, Hayward.
Is at 10. Brown. 11.
So those guys, that's what I wanted to get to with this team. Kyrie is here. These guys need to elevate.
No, he needs to elevate. Because at the end of the day, what is your team? A second-year player? Is that who you're relying on in the playoffs? Brown is a third-year player, but he's a second-year player.
And a guy coming off injury.
And then Terry?
No, Hayward.
A second-year player, Hayward. Coming off an injury. So four scores really have no experience that you're relying on in the playoffs. No. You supposed to have been Iverson averaging 35, 36 because they will still average 15, 10, and 12. That's the difference. So when I look at his stats and I say, you average 23.8 and 7 assists with a sophomore unit. But in Cleveland, you were the second option behind LeBron James, the best player in the world that year. He averaged 26-7. You averaged 25.8-6. And then option number three, averaged a double-double at 19-11. How? How the fuck can your stats be that dominant with two dominant players, but you have a sophomore team and your stats are not dominant?
Would it be this? He was comfortable in Cleveland. Boston, it was all on him, and he was saying, "Actually, no. I don't want it like that."
In Cleveland, he knew what his role was. LeBron James gets the team involved. Kyrie, you score, and if you get assists here and there because people are focusing on you, bravo. But other than that, do what you do best. In Boston, he's trying to be LeBron and Kyrie at the same time when it didn't work. So
it was like, okay, LeBron's here behind the controls. You navigate, tell me where we're going. You're my ultimate wingman. Go to Boston. Oh, here, you fly a plane.
You fly it. Yeah. Let me see what you're going to do.
It's different.
So at the end of the day, as Danny Ainge or
Stevens.
You have to look at what you really have. What is Kyrie? What is his talent? He's a number two option who you just make him score. Don't worry about the rest of the team. Tatum would have been my number one option because he's already proved it. He proved he can handle this responsibility. And the other four players work well with him. So what I have is Tatum in the half court, Kyrie back in his element. With that being said, Kyrie would have averaged more.
Where do you use Tatum in the half court?
Mid-range. He's a mid-range guy. Mid-range footwork. High that's post. His guy. High yeah. post. Like, but you got to remember, you take the ball out of Tatum's hand, and then it's like, all right, I'll give it to you when I'm done dribbling. Like, all right. Okay. Instead of saying, all right, let me see what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. If I don't have it, give it to you. Now I cut out 10 dribbles for you because now you just get to the yams and score. Mm-hmm. That's what he did in Cleveland. You know, so as a coach, you have to understand what your talent is. And that's the reason your talent didn't thrive this year.
Yeah, and I think he did have, I think it was like November or December. I think it was December. He did have a moment. I remember you.
Yeah, he's post, yeah, me.
Like,
but
you saw him do that, be that. But then it just kind of went away.
It kind of disappears. Yeah. Like, yo,
I think it was they were probably saying like, all right, Kyrie's doing his thing. Okay, now we got to get Tatum to do his thing. We got to like
but you gotta
activate all these guys.
You have to understand the talent you have on your team.
Yeah.
You have to understand, like, at the end of the day, yeah, these guys play well, but they're so inexperienced. That, hey, listen, we're gonna you guys feed off of each other. I just do my thing. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I'm gonna dribble and do all this and then try to get one of you guys open, and you're like, all right. So hey, what do you guys wanna do? Like, all right, let's play this game right here with each other because we don't fuck with him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's because they don't know their roles. They didn't know their roles.
And between him and Harden. That style of play is difficult because you're dominating the ball for so long in the shot clock that a guy like Tatum is like, now I got to rush mine.
Yeah, but that's the problem. If you're going to dominate the ball, use it to your ability. Right. Fucking score. Mm-hmm. Like when Boston looked good and he's going 35-40, 45-30, because he's just fucking scoring. Mm-hmm. Now with you just scoring, everyone understands their roles now, but when you dribble 15 times doing all this and then you hot potato it, these guys are like, what am I doing? Like, I don't, this is, yo, we need to change this shit up a little bit. You know, that's what I said, it's like Iverson. If we know what Iverson's doing, the other four know what to do too. You know, so he's gonna score, he's our 1-2, whatever. Whatever Iverson was, Eric Snow, get the rest of the team involved. Mm-hmm. Tatum, get the rest of the team involved, and you become Iverson. And that's how that team should have looked.
Okay. Percentage that Kyrie stays.
Stays?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be rude here, but what do you need him for?
Like if you don't want to offend anybody, we're not.
If you're there to sell tickets, like that's what I'm saying. Like Kyrie can go anywhere he wants. As long as he's the number one option and he doesn't take on an Iverson mentality, it's going to be the same thing.
Okay, so 0% chance?
100% chance.
That he stays?
No, gone.
Okay, 0% chance
he stays. 0% chance he stays.
So
If they actually got Anthony Davis, perfect.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Give it to Anthony Davis, long game.
Let him be the number one option, and then in a second, and then in the fourth quarter, bingo, you're back on. Mm-hmm. That's what Anthony Davis mm-hmm. did with in Pelicans. Anthony Davis is the number one option. The go-to guy, Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. You know, Drew, and that's his role. He needs a front man to do all the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. Because when he tries to do the heavy lifting, it's a few players that I think they read comments too much and read the media too much, and it fucks up their game. You know, oh, come in here, you know, you need to be a point guard, get everyone involved and do all that. No.
You're saying that's the case for Kyrie?
Yeah. Play to your strength.
I don't know if it's social media or, like, man, if you put on any of those shows in the morning, First Take or whatever, and that's all they do is criticize.
Yeah, but you got to remember.
They never good you got to remember,
most of the people that's criticizing you are stupid. They really don't know actually. They don't know what basketball is.
They don't know athletics.
I can tell you right now, I love Stephen A. Smith. I love his energy. You know, he makes me laugh.
Yeah, any team he goes with,
the other team is winning. You know, he's at this point, he's like the fucking weatherman.
It's like the Drake curse.
Yeah, he's like the weatherman. He has a 5% chance of being right. Yeah. You know what I mean? He has a 5% chance of being right, and he actually gets to keep that job. Yeah. Like, you know, it's one of those things. Like,
we don't care if you're right. We just care to hear what you say.
And that's how how our media is. They just want to be first, and they just want to. They want to go viral.
Say some wild shit that we can't believe.
They say wild shit to go viral. Yeah. That is not fucking sports. Mm-mm. Like you're giving the rest of the world false knowledge, false hope. Like, period. Like, it's just like when I heard the Kawhi Leonard Kobe thing.
Yeah. But you know what that is? It's cool for a minute to compare those guys. It's the way it always is.
It's one of those things where I understand what he was trying to say. Not he's better. In clutch moments, he's more efficient. It's hard to really judge it when you have one guy who's been in 300 moments versus a guy who's been in 50 moments. Yeah. Like, you have one guy whose moments started at 25, 26, 27, and one guy whose moments started at 20, 21, 22, 23, mm-hmm. 24. Yeah, this percentage is going to be worse because he's really inexperienced. Mm-hmm. He has the mindset of what he's trying to do, just doesn't have the experience. Well, then the other guy, his team has always been top three. Of course. His percentage of hitting big shots is going to be better because the talent around him is better than Kobe's was. When he was, like, you got to remember, Chris Mims and all of this, and we're ranked eighth versus, I'm on the Spurs, we're always top three. I go to Toronto, who was ranked number one last year in the East. We're going to be ranked number one this year. Like, his team is solid, smart players that they're gonna give him the space and the opportunities to hit quality shots. But when it comes to the volume of shooting, he's not even in a category yet to even, like, you can't even compare it because he doesn't have enough work. It's unfair. Like, yeah, he's 28%, he's 60%. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if I, you know, shoot 7 out of 10, I'm 70, you know, I'm 70%. And I'm like, yeah, I'm the best percentage shooter in the league. And I'm going up against a guy who shot a fucking 1,000. Mm-hmm. that's a fucking dickhead move, to be honest. you need to at least break 150 to at least be in that conversation. At 150 shots, let's see where your percentage is then. 200 shots. Let's see what your percentage is then.
But the thing, I mean, for Kawhi, people say he's like robotic or whatever, but two things about him. He plays within himself and he plays at his own pace.
You know what? And that's what I had to respect about him. You know me, I was a very, very hater of the Kawhi Leonard bus.
Yeah, you didn't even say his name right.
Yeah, yeah. I was a big...
I don't know if it was a hater. You were just a doubter.
You didn't... In today's society, that's called hating, you know? Because...
It wasn't personal.
Because hating, the hating is someone's good and I'm hating on their talent. I can admit that.
Okay.
I did not believe the hype because of where he was coming from. Coming from San Antonio, you know, he's ranked number one in defense. And I'm like, well, that team is ranked number three. So something has to give here. I mean, you know, really something has to give if the team is ranked three. So that means there's more defensive players. So that means his job is a little bit easier. Because when he left, the team was still a great defensive team. Even Murray, a guard, we didn't even know. He's ranked second team all defense. Like, what the fuck? And he was only second team because he got hurt. He would have been first team. So you have another stopper on the team? Like, if he's stopping motherfuckers, how can you get rated for stopping motherfuckers? Like, when the Bulls had three stoppers on the team, Rodman, Jordan, and Pippen. Yeah. I'm like, how do you fucking actually, how do you guys actually judge this? Like, how do you put them all three first team? Like, they have to, like, cancel each other at one point. Like, how is Rodman doing one job, and Jordan's doing one job, and Pippen's doing one job? Like, this is confusing.
You had a pack of killer dogs.
Like, you know, if Pippen is stopping everybody and Rodman is blocking everybody, shouldn't Rodman be before Pippen? Because Pippen's funneling to Rodman and Rodman's getting the block. It's just a confusing stat line. Mm-hmm. Like, who's the better defender?
How do you quantify that?
Yeah, it's like, and that's what it was then. So when he went to Toronto, he's a fresh new person. Let me see what he looks like now.
And you doubted a little bit.
I doubted at first, and then, like, a week later, like, fuck, okay, he is fucking good. He's, like, it's not pretty. He just gets the fucking job.
Yeah, that's pretty, actually.
Not really. Like, it's not really.
Like, see, you hit
LeBron
shot,
gets the job done.
Yep, I get what you're saying.
But
flashy,
it's not Kawhi elegant not as a Michael Jordan
right.
type of, right. you know. So when you look at Kawhi, it's like, it's robotic.
Uh-huh.
It's not flashy. He has 36 and 12.
Yep.
Six assists and two blocks. And he shut that person down.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. I respect like, it. You know, it's like one of those.
It's like T-1000. Not Schwarzenegger, but the other one.
It's one of those things that's like, damn, he just
kills.
He's fucking just gets it done. Like, yeah. I just can't, you know, I'm on the bus. Mm-hmm. I'm late to the bus, but I'm on the motherfucker though. Waving my quad flag. Like, I'm here.
He's got a fan now.
Yeah, I'm here, you guys.
Add another one.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, so I forgot where we were.
It doesn't matter. You see the light on Kawhi.
Yeah.
And he's impressed.
But I don't even know why we broke him up, but we did.
Side note. But all right. Well, I'm going to go take my flannel back to the closet. You know, I got the swaggy closet. I think I saw this look there.
The swaggy? Okay.
Have you seen that?
Listen. 10 years ago, you were considered a bum dressing like that.
Okay, well.
Now it's called fashion. I mean, half the time he has on swim trunks a little too long.
He wears short.
He will wear the, stuff. I call it the white man can't jump look.
Okay.
With a robe on. From the Holiday Inn.
I haven't really seen the robe.
Like, it's not an actual inexpensive robe. It's a $5 robe from the fucking...
No, I think it was
Super 8
Versace,
Hotel. It's a fucking Super 8 all-white fucking robe.
I don't know
this is my fashion because he has on $800 Kanye West. Like, no, they were $200.
They were free from Adidas.
Yeah, actually. You just had to pay a little bit more because it was online. You know, so your outfit is a whole $350.
Mm-hmm.
That is not fashion, bro. Mm-hmm. Sit your ass down. But you can't tell him that. I can't tell him that because I have no fucking fashion. I'm Costco.
You're more functional. Like athletic clothes.
Because I don't go anywhere. White tees. I don't go anywhere to dress up.
Actually, you did. I was surprised when the Big Three draft. You were a little fit for that.
I had on jeans.
No, I think it was like a jogger suit, and you had on.
No, I had on jeans.
You had on different sneakers though. I think they were just all white sneakers. Never seen you wear shoes like that. They weren't Adidas.
Oh, those are the comforter shoes I wear in court. You know, my all whites. You know, my old white court shoes. You know what I mean? You got all white courts. Then I had some jeans on. And then a white T-shirt. And then I found a zip-up sweater. I was like, I got it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I can't. Like, I did it in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Wore the suits. Wore the ascots. I was the first one to bring the ascots in. Because I was like, I was watching movies and I was like, damn, the bad guy always got on this fly ass puffy shit. What is it? And I was like, my stylist was like, that's called the
ascot. Oh, you had a stylist?
Hmm?
Okay.
It was like,
what happened?
Because, you know, when the dress code came in, you know, we had to be.
So the team had a stylist or you had
to? No, I had a stylist. Because, you know, when the dress code came in, we all had to dress.
Right.
So I had to get a stylist, Alba. And at the time, too, it was a guy named Jared out of New York. And I was like, you know, what is this look? The bad guy, like, he's fly as fuck.
What movie?
Every movie, any movie, James Bond movie, kind of any movie. Guy. It was okay. Like the guy had the little puffy thing, just, and I was like, I don't know how to do ties, but what is that right there? And I was like, ascot. And that was my look. I'm done playing. You know, I don't want to dress up anymore like that. Like, if I go to the red carpet, you best believe there's a white T-shirt under from Costco, Kirkland. You know, that's a dress shirt to me.
You are who you are, don't
if
you?
If I go to dinner, Kirkland. I know people at Kirkland on right now. I just threw this Nike top fit on because it's like, damn, he
always. I'm not even gonna criticize, you know, I could, but what you said, you can't do that. That's a classic flaw. Nike Puma shorts.
This is Puma short? Yeah. I thought that was a swoosh.
Come on.
I thought it was
when
a swoosh.
When has the Puma Panther ever looked like a
I mean, think about it. Okay, it's Nike shoes, that Nike tights.
Yep.
Okay, obviously I thought this was Nike. I thought I was I was all Nike'd up.
Okay.
You know, but the shorts is black. You know, I match. I actually match, though. You know, I came from working out, you know, so it's...
All right. You know. That's enough for fashion advice for this week.
Yeah, I have none, so don't even take mine.
I'm going to go eat some of these chicken wings from our friends at our friend Eric. Here.
What up, A?
Humble Potato here in LA. Great spot. There's three, right? Yeah.
We're at
Playa del Rey, Culver City, Palms. Not in Palms. The valley. Mar Vista? Palms, Me and Greet. Yeah, Me and Greet.
Oh, okay.
Spot. Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, bomb food. We brought a whole bunch. It's over here.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking that home.
Yeah, take it home. All right. So, wait. One more thing.
Uh huh.
Half man, half amazing, Vince Carter, 42 years old. He's coming back. You had a take on that. I think you need some time to talk about it, right? Because you said he is killing some player's dream out there, right? Mm-hmm. He's taking a spot away from a young guy that looking to make his way and probably will get that roster spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. A lot of Canadians probably, it's usually Canadians who...
Canadians,
you know, they speak their mind. Toronto, you know, Torontoans.
But he hasn't been there.
But he's Toronto's. Like, come on. Besides Drake,
they got Drake.
Besides
yeah,
Drake, it's fucking Vince Carter for you know the most famous. You know, so most of the hate will come from Toronto fans. But it wasn't a hateful comment. Vince has never been in a position where he can understand what I was saying. When I started my career, I was the 15th player, right? I was the fifth guard. Larry Hughes, Jason Richardson starting at the 1 and 2. Backup was Mookie Blaylock and Bobby Sura. I was 5, and we had a kid named Dean Oliver. I was 5.5 to 6, guard on a team. So I was on IR. They didn't have the D League then. So I didn't get to dress. I had to wear a suit, you know, every day.
With the ascot?
Same? No, fuck no.
I didn't have money.
I spent all my money back then on a big old initial chain that, you know, we were wearing back then.
Spin?
It was just initials. Like, everybody was in initials. It was like GJA. Huh. Just big one. And then my Escalade with the TV. So I spent all my money. So I only had two suits, which I wore every fucking road trip. So you got to think about it. As the sixth and fifth and a half guard, you can imagine that my practice time on the court was minimal. I was not getting any reps in practice. During games, obviously, I have no opportunity, was never going to play. I don't even get to warm up. So, as a young kid, you know, I start, you know, just looking and watching and trying to understand. Then I have, you know, a veteran in front of me, Mookie Blaylock, who spent all of his time on a golf course. I mean, sometimes he showed up to practice late from the golf course.
You know this story.
So when you really think about it, I'm at practice at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's like I lived in a gym. I had nothing else to do. Like, that was my practice. Like, I'm practicing from 6 to 11 because at 11 in practice, they wasn't subbing out. Jason Richardson just tried to sub out for me, but Mookie Blaylock and Bobby Sur is taking, you know, it's like I never really got any reps. So the only person I sub in for was Jason. Like, all right, the team, like, hey, hold on, Gil, let the, you know, so I didn't really get opportunities, you know. Mark Jackson from Philly, you know, he kept me working out, practicing, and doing all of that. So I started being envious of the veteran. Like, yo, I don't care what you've done in this league, bro. Like, I'm busting my ass off here, and I'm sitting in a fucking suit every day, and you're fucking worrying about fucking golf swings and your golf thing. Like, I don't want to hear none of that shit. I'm a young guy. Like, I don't want to hear none of that golf talk. Fuck you at golf. Like, it's like, to this day, I don't play golf because of that experience. Like, fuck golf. Like, fuck the sport. Like, yo, I'm a basketball player, and I'm spending my hours here, and you're at the golf course coming in practice late where I just got 3 good minutes of running up and down, and you fucking come in late and sub me the fuck out. Like, I hate it. I hated our veterans. Like, I hate it. Like, you guys you're not putting the effort that I have. I have this energy that I can, let me show it.
Because on their end, they made it.
Yes.
You were hungry.
Yes.
They're here. So and at their point, they're more relaxed.
Like, was I better than them? Fuck no. No. I couldn't get past Mookie Blaylock for shit when I did. You know, he was a defensive player. It's like, no, I didn't. Got to remember, I don't have the experience to know what to do to get by him. It's just, all I know is, oh, he's picking me up full court. What am I going to, like, I didn't have no experience. So when you think about a coach whose job is to win games, no, he's not going to look at me. No, I don't have the experience. So no, the young guy is not going to outplay Vince for them to get on the court. So I'm sitting there game after game after game, actually now praying that one of these motherfuckers get hurt, so I can at least get in the warm-up line. You know, like at least like a fan get to see me windmill or a coach get to see me do something that like, okay, oh, young fella can jump or something. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking about at the time, but I knew one of these motherfuckers got to get it hurt for me to get out of this suit. Mm-hmm. What ended up happening is they end up getting rid of Mookie Blaylock. And boom, from that one decision, Mookie's gone. I get out of the suit. We're down 20. Down 30 or up 20-30, I get to get a minute in the game now. Like, I get to, gotta remember, before my friends, my teammates, they get those 2-3 minutes. Now I get them 2-3 minutes. Now in those 2-3 minutes, here comes 4 points. Here comes six. Here comes six fucking shots. But I get to try to convince the motherfucker who ain't even looking at me that, hey, I can do this a little bit. Now we play against Atlanta Hawks. We're down 20 with 5 minutes left. All the rookies are in. We come back. We lose by one. Crowd gives a standing ovation. I let it. I let the... Okay. We play Timberwolves next game. At the end of the... At the last 3 minutes of the third, Hey, Gil, sub in. Who, me? Hell yeah. Go in, like, this is like actual game time. Like, real, this is real. We're down eight. I go on an 8-0 run. It's tie game in the fourth. Yo, they subbed me out at the beginning of the fourth. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I went on an 8-0 run against fucking was it KG at the time. You got Hudson at the time. Like, motherfucker, I was balling. Like mm-hmm. I went home. Like, we ended up losing. I went home like, yo, like, that's all I needed. That's all I needed. Like, I'm gaining confidence. I have not outplayed Larry. I have not outplayed Jason. I have not outplayed Bobby Sura at any point. But on that court, I'm showing something. Game 42 comes around. I have not proved myself, but I've had moments. All because of the Mookie move.
One move.
Larry Hughes gets hurt game 41. For game 42, Bobby Sura doesn't want to start. He wants to stay in his six-man role. So, Gil, you're starting. Like, is there another Gil in this club? Like you're starting me? Like, I had to look, you start looking around like, motherfucking lying. Like, I see my name on the board, Gilbert, Tony Parker. Like, damn, all right. I'm gonna keep it cool. Call my dad. Hey, I'm starting against fucking San Antonio. Like, you know, like that. Get the fuck out of it. No, serious. Like, they're starting me. Like, you haven't even done shit to start. I started three quarters against the defending champs. We're down one. Fourth quarter, Bobby Sura again, we lose. But for me, like, down one against the champs was a big deal. Like, yo, I'm happy with my performance. The coach was happy with my performance. Like, oh, hey, you held your own today against them. Like, oh, thank you, appreciate it. Next game, double-double. By the time Larry comes back, I just won Rookie of the Month. They decide, Larry, we're gonna go with him. You got to work your way back into the lineup. You know. From that point on, it's 30, 28. I'm the fourth quarter player. You know, we have Antoine James, but I'm the fourth. Like, I just built his name. As a starter, I averaged 18, 6, and 5. My numbers was better than Larry's, but I didn't outplay Larry for the spot. Unfortunately, he got hurt. Mookie got out. And I rose to the occasion, all because of an opportunity. And that's where the experience is coming from. Like, Agent Zero, Hibachi was made all because a veteran got kicked off the team. If that veteran was there, I probably would have never been me. I would have never had the opportunity. You know, because Larry was negotiating a $60-something million deal. So if he never gets hurt or if Mookie never comes in, because if Mookie was there, Mookie would have been starting, then Larry would have came back in, he would have got his $65 million, I'd have probably been out of the league.
Still been in that
suit. I'd have probably been on the suit or out of the league and never actually got the opportunity to actually show what I can do. And that's where it was coming from, that, listen, you're 43 years old, you've done everything you can possibly do in your mind. You know, you don't want to win a championship. You really want to just be contributing on a team. You're averaging 6 points. There's a young kid that you've made $300 million. One more million doesn't mean nothing to you. But this guy right here who just got picked in the second round, who's looking at you like he just needs you to move out of the way just so he can get that last minute of the game, that free throw against this team, 2 minutes of a game, to start his first $1 million contract or his 20 million, like, that's who I'm speaking for. Like, you know, there's guys out here that's waiting for the opportunity. You know, somebody like Andre, you know, Ingram, who's sat in the D League for 10, 12 years. Instead of going overseas, like, I just need the opportunity. And every time he's gotten it, the fucked up part is, he's actually proven he was good. To the point where it's like, all right, we're gonna give you a 10-day, and those 10 days, he averages 15. To start off the next season, he's back in the D League. because these teams want the veteran guys. Like, even though he's a veteran now, at this point, he's a veteran. Give the man an actual shot to prove.
I would say, to be honest, if he really wants to be around a team and to contribute, he'd be a assistant coach. You're still traveling. You're still talking to these young guys.
Why? If you're averaging 15 every time they give you a chance.
I'm talking about Vince.
That's what I'm saying. He should be a coach.
He'll probably be able to dunk a basketball until he's 70 years old.
If I'm coaching a team and it's Vince or this young 19, 18-year-old, I'm going with Vince. He's seasoned. At the end of the game, remember, at the end of the game, if Vince is only playing 9 minutes, 6 of the minutes is coming in the last fourth quarter. Because he knows what to do. He knows he's going to take the right shot. He's never going to do anything dumb. He's not going to make any rookie mistakes. He's going to be a veteran. So I'm going to, as a coach, I'm going to always keep Vince on the court in crucial moments because he's seasoned. But to average 5, 6, 4 and hang on, like, yo, just...
I mean, really, the last 5 seasons, he averaged 16, 16, 24, 17, and 17 minutes a game.
I mean,
also, the other thing is, like, I mean, yeah. But, again, like, I mean, those minutes. That's not the Vince that we remember.
But got to remember, those minutes versus the point production. To a veteran at 43, that is not good. For a rookie, an 18-year-old, that is amazing. That's the difference.
You can build off that.
You can build. There's upside, like confidence, upside. 17 minutes. You're trying to figure out how to be the next Vince. You know, like, and that's how I look at it. Like, I mean, I can see if he was Jamal Crawford and you're still out there playing 28, 29 minutes, but no. His last 10 seasons has been like, eh.
Yeah, he really came to life again in Dallas, but I think that's exactly it. Thank you, Vince. We want to see the next Vince.
It's like, just understand that when you're sitting there subbing in, look at the end of that bench. Are they happy for you, or are they like, man, I can't wait till this motherfucker gets hurt, or wait till this motherfucker just gets kicked off the team, or wait for this motherfucker to retire? Like, give me the chance too. I look up to you. I want to be the next you, but you are standing in my way because you are the vet. I just be a good vet and just
remember,
say,
what it was like to be that young kid.
But he's never been.
He's
never been in that position.
If you were a guy that came
superstar.
In as a lottery pick.
Yeah.
You never had to scratch. And that's
what
claw
I'm saying. You never had
up.
To scratch and claw, but there's players that got to scratch and claw. Mm-hmm. And some of those players that's scratching and clawing do become superstars. They just need the opportunity, and they've built up this desire and hunger to be great. We don't know until, like, that's just like saying, hey, yo, Dirk, come back one more year. What would everyone say? Really? Like, really? Like, one more? Like, what?
That's what I mean. Even with D-Wade, he went out on top.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
He didn't go out with an empty tank. He had a little bit left in there.
What did D-Wade average this year?
He went out at the right time.
Double digits? Like, was it second in scoring on a team? Shit, with his stats compared to Vince's, he could play fucking 3 more years.
Yeah, he averaged 15.
He averaged 15 this year.
A game. Yeah. But, that's what Vince averaged when he was 37. Vince is 42.
Huh?
5 years ago. So, either way, but, like, the
no,
thing...
No, at...
15.
He's 37, averaging 15, right? Vince is at 30 what? 33?
But the thing about D-Wade that I respect is that he went out with something left in the tank.
But I'm
not spent.
But that's what I'm thinking. It ain't even about that. It's like, listen, I've done everything I can possibly do. The way this team is going, what am I really doing here? You know? So let me go ahead, let the next person behind me get a chance to shine. I can go on about my next venture. But you're talking about a guy who wasn't ranked in high school, and he had to build his way up, so he understands the process. And that's where it was coming from. It was coming from someone who had to fight and claw for everything, and looking at like, yo, what are you still doing here? Like, come on, guy. Like, come on.
Right, get the fuck on.
Like, come on, guy. Yeah, it's my turn now. Come on. I know I haven't earned it, but fucking give me a chance.
Hey, man, don't you want to ride off into the sunset?
Ride off into the sunset, live on a beach, do something. But, you know, at Vince, I understand one thing. Like, this next year, he becomes the most played year athlete. I get that one now. When they said he's coming back one more year, I didn't get it at the time. Like, this is an actual milestone for him. Okay. I get it.
Hang your head on that.
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, it wasn't my first time that I did it, you know, did this. You know, yeah, I remember I did it against D-Rose.
D-Rose, yeah.
D-Rose when I got angry at him for being in the middle of the season and saying, you know, I need to take some time away to see what I wanted to do with my career. And I was like, hold on. You should have made that decision before, because the person who got cut at the end, basically, he's living through you.
Yeah,
because,
where is he now?
Like, if you leave, he's like, wait a minute. Like, yo, like, man, I would have been on that team. I could have contributed. I could have been a practice player. Like, I could have really. But so because of your decision, now you don't know if you want to play basketball. I wish you would have made that fucking 30 games ago, you know, and that's, you know, I did it then, like, you know, because I'm that guy that's, you know, had to.
But in that situation, it wasn't something that he, like, could perfectly time in the preseason or training camp or something.
No,
like that.
I know, but, you know, it's just the thought people don't think about. There's like, you got to remember, if there's a guy who has to suffer.
Yeah, you don't think,
you know,
of that.
Yeah, you don't. We just, you know, Vince fans is like, I want to see him one more year.
You're in your own world.
I want to see him one more year. Like, if he's good enough to beat a player out, if he beats a player out, that's his team. Like, I mean, he's going to beat out a 19, 18-year-old kid who has no experience of what to do, unless this guy is just a freak athlete or score. But that still can get overshadowed by Vince's athleticism still. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't beat out Mookie, who was old. I didn't beat out Bobby Serra. I didn't beat out Larry Hughes. Didn't like, be honest, every time I practiced against them, they kicked my fucking ass. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. One-on-one, when we had to do one-on-one, I got fucking torched. I remember Larry had me 18-3. He had me 18-3 because I don't have any experience. I don't know what he can do. I don't know his talent. I don't know his skill. I don't know his habit. I'm just trying to play basketball, and I'm getting fucked up, you know. But, you know, game after game, I'm building my game confidence. And
you also kind of learned on the fly that way.
Yeah, just, you know, it's just playing, put me out there 5-on-5. You know, I'm reacting, I'm gaming it, you know, building my confidence. Now I understand what this game is about. Now I'm understanding I can't do this. I can't do the same thing against the same person. Okay, this, you know, now I'm learning and bringing all the pieces you have. 1,000 of them, I got now 4, 5. Mm-hmm. I'm building my resume of knowledge, you know, because 43 versus 18, the knowledge is going to kick his ass every single time. For the most part.
Athletically.
But you got to remember, it's Vince athleticism, which is a 40-inch vertical versus an 18-year-old kid with a 38 or 40-inch vertical. They're on the same, one's moving faster, but one is smarter about his movements. You know, like what 18, 19-year-old right now is going to beat Crawford out for a spot? None. Yeah, this guy might be a starter, a all-star, a Hall of Fame in 3 years, but at this moment, at 18, 19, he's not gonna
a fringe, like John Morant, but not a fringe 18, 19.
Yeah, he's not going to beat out, you know. Like, if John Morant had to play against, like, Lou Williams or Jamal Crawford at 39, he's going to have a hard time shining and stopping this guy from scoring. But he's going to be your future. Mm-hmm. But he can't stop this 39-year-old. You know, it's not always about talent at the time. It is
actually cool to see that old guy win against the young
kid. Yeah,
it is, actually.
Yeah. But he's going to win every time. It doesn't say he's going to win every time. Like, who was the shooting guard behind Kobe? We had what, Nick Young and
Jordan. I was gonna say that
Jordan,
like, when Kobe retired.
Jordan.
Yeah, I would say it was Clarkson. Yeah,
Clarkson, Jordan, yeah. Clarkson. Like, yeah, I mean, like, you got to think about him. Mm-hmm. You know, let's say Kobe took 3-4 more years, his career doesn't even get off the ground. You know, because he's sitting behind Kobe, who's going to play 30 something.
Like Tom Brady doesn't want a young guy behind him. Huh? He's had like 3 young guys behind him. Get rid of them once they start to get good.
Yeah,
I'm still here.
But I mean, at least they go start somewhere else. Mm. You know, and get to play somewhere else, though. You know, it's just, you know, I look at it like respect the game. Like if you can't put the same passion and same effort, not into the gameplay, but into practice and all this stuff,
give someone their chance.
You know, give up someone, you know, it's like give somebody a chance who's going to put that heart into it, that grit and grind you started with. Mm-hmm. You know, that was my reason. Like, I didn't have the passion anymore. You know, so it's like, let me just move away for, you know, these young guys are really, you know, I can see the hunger in their eyes, and they're looking at me like, hey, man, this one knee. Ain't even like, he come to practice all this and this and that. I need my time, and coach keeps calling him. Yeah, right, you're right. He does. Good luck.
But also took you to be at that place too. If you still had that fire and you still wanted it.
I'd still be playing, you know, hogging up a spot for somebody else. Yeah, shit happens.
When it's your time, it's your time.
Yeah.
All right, Vince.